Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am your host for the show. I'm Liz Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. It's very interesting. I get a lot of pushback from people because I don't follow the news, and I haven't for 13 years. I gave it up when I noticed how unsettling it was to me to know that there was so much going on in the world that I could do nothing about. And being uncomfortable about it was certainly not going to make anything any better. So I chose to focus on what is right in the world, to do what I can to enhance lives, and to put my time and energy into guiding others to do the same. My guest today has chosen to put her time and energy into making the world a better place for not only herself and her family, but for the communities she works with as well. And like most of us who find ourselves on this kind of a path, there usually has been some challenges along the way that have set us in this direction. My guest today is Dig Krismer, and she is currently the Rural Engagement Manager for the North Region with Innovia Foundation. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Dig will join us and share her inspiring story. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Dig Krismer, and some of you may know Dig from her former warm and wonderful presence up at Schweitzer, where I felt like her job was to make everyone feel welcome, as if it was her own home. Dig's heart led her to a current position that is the Rural Engagement Manager for the Innovia Foundation, where she serves varying community needs in Eastern Washington and North Idaho. And she's going to tell us all about that. So welcome, Dig. Such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the invite. This is very kind. So thanks.
Yes. So, like I said, I feel like everyone must know you from Schweitzer.
My kids feel that way. When we go through the grocery store, you know, back when I would do the little videos and stuff, I get talk to people all the time, and my kids would be like, stop it. You know,
yes. We're not going to the grocery store with you.
Exactly. It takes forever, but it's fun. It's definitely fun.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, and I don't even know if I officially know what your position was up there, because I really just felt like you were the official greeter.
I had the pleasure and the honor of working for Schweitzer for 10 years. The first couple of years, I was the front desk manager for the Selkirk and White Pine Lodges. And then I had previous experience in sales and marketing, and so moved over to the marketing manager role and served in that position for about 8 years. So 10 years in total with my family up at Schweitzer. So it was great. It was great.
And with all the growth going on, I'm sure it definitely kept you on your toes.
Yeah. People are like, what do you, you work year round up there? What did you do? I'm like, oh, dear God. You know, there's things happen all the time. And kudos to the team that's up there now. You know, there's so much happening, and they're just really doing a great job. And it's a wonderful, wonderful business who have done some really amazing things. And I'm really proud to be a part of that history. It was a great place to be.
Well, you definitely got the ball rolling. So, kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
And so what did you, I know we kind of discussed this briefly, and what did you love about being able to work up at Schweitzer and the capacity that you did?
For me, skiing for me always was about family. When I was young and growing up, my mom would take my sisters and I to these little podunk resorts in western Pennsylvania. I shouldn't call them podunk, that's not fair, but that's all we had at the time. And so we grew up skiing kind of as a family thing. And then after I graduated from college, I was sort of at a loss and ran away to the mountains and found family again. And so to me, the ski industry and skiing was always about that connection and that community. So being at Schweitzer was just fantastic. We had moved here not really knowing where we were going or where we were landing. And we got really lucky that everybody was so wonderful and such a welcoming space. And yeah, I just really enjoyed the people so much. And, you know, most of my friends are still working up at the mountain. So it's nice to have that connection still. And I'll always refer to it as my mountain and our mountain. So we were very lucky to land there for sure.
And where did you come from?
So when we first moved to Sandpoint in 2011, we moved from France.
Oh.
I know, it's a weird transition. I started working in skiing and kind of bounced around several different mountains and actually ended up in England back in 2000 and then spent time working in England for 2 years where I met my kid's father, and he took a job in France. And so we lived in France for 8 years prior to moving to Sandpoint in 2011. So
wow. And yeah. So did you see a position advertised at Schweitzer? And that's is so funny.
It was really funny. And when I think back about it, I'm like, holy cat, how did this happen?
Yes.
We had made a decision, my kid's dad and I, that we were going to move back to the United States. He was British and wanted to get to the United States to experience life here. And I was ready to get back to work. Mm-hmm. The kid, you know, having had the four kids. And a friend of mine who worked for the state of Idaho Tourism was like, oh, you need to look at Sandpoint. You need to look at Schweitzer. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Because we had thought about, you know, New Mexico or Montana or other places. Lo and behold, there was some positions that were open for the mountain. So I applied. And my former boss at Schweitzer, who's no longer with the mountain, but he used to laugh. He was like, I think I threw your resume in the trash like 5 times. But you kept calling and texting. And finally, we had a Skype interview, you know, pre-Zoom.
And, oh, wow.
I just got really lucky. I really connected with my previous boss. And I don't know how it happened, but he offered me the job and we were able to get over here. And it was perfect for the kids and for their dad and I. And it was a great move.
I love that. And, you know, there are always so many interesting stories as to how people find their way to Sandpoint. There's just something, there is some magical draw that brings people here.
Well, it was so funny because I had gotten the position and we had scanned, you know, the websites and looked over all kinds of information. I landed in Spokane. I flew over by myself to get settled. And I got off the plane in Spokane and basically started to cry because I didn't see a single mountain anywhere. And I was like, good God, what have I done? They're going to kill me. This was terrible. This is awful. And was, you know, panicking, basically. And then drove across the Long Bridge.
And like, that did it.
And that was it. And Into the Mystic was playing and, you know, tears started rolling down my face. I'm like, okay, we're going to be fine.
The driving across the Long Bridge will do it most of the time, that's for sure.
Yeah, someone needs to write a book about the Long Bridge moments that everybody has, because everybody has a story about driving across that Long Bridge for the first time.
Well,
everybody.
What's interesting is that I found Sandpoint coming up from Spokane on Highway 2, didn't even know about the Long Bridge. And I, as soon as I crossed into Sandpoint, I go, I need to live here. And I went to a real estate office and I walked in and I said, I want to buy something here. And she said, well, where are you thinking? I go, I don't know. I've never been here before. She goes, well, let's go across the bridge and see if we can find something there. And I go, oh, what's the bridge across?
You're like, what bridge? What
so,
lake?
Again, there's another story about it. Anyways, that's nice to know about that. And we certainly do miss getting to see you up on the mountain. But now you're the Rural Engagement Manager for the North Region with Innovia Foundation. So tell us about Innovia and what the foundation does.
So Innovia is the community foundation for the 20 counties that are around Spokane. And a true community foundation. We're a public grant-making organization working very closely with donors to help them find ways to be philanthropic locally and to keep those resources local. So I describe my job as kind of like connecting the dots. I get to talk to donors who are interested in supporting causes that they care about. I get to work directly with the nonprofits who are doing the real heavy lifting in our communities, and then helping them figure out how to be sustainable and to find, you know, better sources of funding. And then we get to have the grant-making piece through the competitive grant program through Innovia that we offer in the spring. So it's just been a community foundation, really. I love those words because community, it's everybody, and foundation is the base of it all. And it really, I really lean into that, and I feel that with this work. It's humbling to meet some really amazing and generous people in our community that I had no idea. And then to be able to help the organizations and help work with the Equinox Foundation to be, you know, successful in helping our community thrive. It's really hard to explain how much that joy that brings me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful. Actually, today is the year anniversary that I've been with the foundation, and I'm thrilled that I made the leap.
Oh, that's awesome. So I have heard and read about there's some very creative ways that donors can contribute. So can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the neat thing is that, you know, donors, sometimes people think donors are only the people who get buildings named after them or something.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a plaque on the wall.
Right, exactly. And yes, those people exist, but donors actually come in all shapes and sizes, and they donate in all forms, be it time, energy, and money. And when it comes to, you know, money and resources, assets, or wealth, that's where the foundation can help people be creative. You know, they can create a donor-advised fund where they create a fund, and then they have the opportunity to donate, you know, do grants through that fund to the causes and the organizations that they're most passionate about. Or if they are specific about, you know, one organization and they want to set up a fund that's directly going to benefit that organization, they can do that too. So there's a lot of ways that the foundation can help people be charitable and be creative in being charitable.
Right.
You know, people think it's cash, but donations coming through wealth, which is more like appreciated assets or, you know, stocks and life insurance policies and other things like that, that people don't necessarily know that they can be charitable with.
Right.
That's how we want people to be a little bit more creative and think about how they can give back in ways that they didn't consider before.
And so what is your approach to finding donors or letting donors know about, because when I heard about it, I got very excited and inspired because I didn't really know that there were the possibilities that are out there. It's not like something, you know, CPAs necessarily are sharing or, you know, it just to me was brand new information.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you like maybe give us some examples of some creative ways that people are doing it or ways that they could find out about other ways to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you talk about CPAs. So we work very closely with professional advisors, financial advisors, real estate, estate attorneys, people who are like helping with end-of-life planning to explain to them the options that are out there in terms of how to be philanthropic in those plans. It's also the thing that I've learned is it's a lot of word of mouth. And so the more that we can talk to each other and explain what the community foundation is and what we do, then that story gets told. And the more the stories get told, the easier it is for people to see themselves doing those kind of things as well. Being philanthropic isn't complicated. It's just something that we may not think that we have the capacity to do when in actuality, we all have, you know, we could all be philanthropic by leaving, you know, 5% of our estate. We can't take it with us when we die.
Right.
So what are we going to do with it, right? So leave some to family, leave some to, and then leave some to causes that matter to you. And that's really how we just getting the word out and the awareness and talking to people and encouraging people who've become donors to share their stories and tell people what they're doing. That really helps.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And I read a book recently. It was called Die With Nothing, which I thought was fascinating. And one of the things that the author talks about is the beauty of being able to see what you're going to pass on actually come to life while you're alive and to get to witness the benefits of what your intentions are. So Is that something that you see with the donors that you work with too?
Yes. What I really have enjoyed with some of the donors that I've gotten to know in the region, one, for example, they live over in Ferry County, the town of Republic, which I have fallen in love with. It is the greatest little town. And she and her husband were very passionate about refurbishing a carousel, very similar to what the Carousel of Smiles is trying to do in Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. And they actually set up some funds to preserve the history and the legacy of this carousel that they worked so hard for. And for her, it's wonderful to have those conversations with her, to see that this will be, the carousel itself will continue to thrive. Right. And by supporting that, she's supporting, you know, all the kids that grew up in that area who are familiar with the carousel are now adults, and they had those wonderful experiences. And now those adults are sharing the carousel with their children and grandchildren. So it's that, you know, perpetuity, that continued legacy that for that community, that is just amazing. And it's something, it's not simple, but it's something, it's a carousel. But the impact that has through people is amazing. There's other folks who like to set up scholarship funds or, you know, to support high schools that really help them get to where they are now, or, you know, be it an athletic club or be it, another, you know, service organization in our community who helped them maybe deal with something like cancer. So, you know, Community Cancer Services is a great example as well. So people are able to contribute to these organizations and these causes that really impacted them in life. So more than being like, okay, I'm doing this because I'm great and amazing. It's more, I'm doing this because what you're doing is great and amazing, and I appreciate that. And that's been so wonderful to see. Oh. That it really is this gratitude coming through.
Right. No, I think that sounds so amazing and so much more heartfelt and, you know, just rewarding all in all, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it is.
Yes, it sounds like it. And I'm fascinated by it. But unfortunately, we already need to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream. I'm Lisa Marquardt. I'm your host for the show. My guest today is Dig Krismer, and she is the Rural Engagement Manager for the Innovia Foundation. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the different ways that Innovia works with donors to leave valuable contributions to the community in ways that are meaningful to them. And I so love that because one of the things that I think is especially valuable in that is someone worked very hard for the amount of money that's being left behind, and to have it just be, you know, some residual amount of money that goes forward to some organization with no real idea of what could happen with it and how it can be brought forward in someone's life. I think that is the beauty. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to do. And I was just wondering, do you have any other examples of like specific individuals or stories that are particularly heartwarming to you that you've gotten to experience?
Well, you know, it's so fascinating because traveling, so I travel throughout my territories, which is, you know, Boundary County, Bonner County, and then Ferry County, Stevens County, and Ponderay County in Washington. And I did not expect to be as moved as I am when I'm in some of these meetings. And it's really, and it can be something as simple as talking to a nonprofit about an endowment. I'll give a shout out to the Gardeners. Oh God, I'm going to get it wrong. Sorry guys, but it's the Gardeners for Organic Wellbeing up in Bonner's Ferry. And they recently set up an endowment. And the reason the donor gave them the money to set up the endowment for perpetuity, because the group, they provide a neutral space for people to come and be in a garden and plant and grow food together. And it's a space and a place where people can just convene and be community without some of the pressures that we see around us, be it, you know, socioeconomic or political or whatever.
Sure.
And I get so excited and so moved by such a simple thing. And then the fact that a donor saw the value in making sure this garden can continue mm-hmm. for perpetuity by setting up an endowment. And it's simple things like that that I'm just really touched by. And the fact that philanthropy can happen in all different kinds of ways. It can happen in, you know, in simple, small ways, as well as large, you know, grandiose ways with huge donations. But it doesn't have to be that complex. And that's what's been so amazing for me.
I love
community
that.
Is really, really important to me. I feel very, very lucky and blessed in my life. And we landed in Sandpoint and have been held and loved by this community. And so being able to help others feel that same way about their organizations or feel that way about the community is really important to me. And
I
so
love
that's
that.
Why shifting to an OB was really, really good.
So, and how do you determine, like, do you communicate needs to donors or do they come up with their own ideas? How does that, or both, or how does
that? It's really both. So, you know, sometimes you'll talk with a donor who has a general idea. You know, using animals, for example, puppies get you, right?
So it's like, of course.
You know, you have someone who's really interested in supporting causes, animals, and causes that support the health and well-being of animals. And so my job is to help connect them or tell the stories of the organizations in my region who are doing that work. And a lot of times it's also, you may have a donor who says, you know what, I just really care about Bonner County and I really want to contribute to Bonner County, and I'm going to let Inovia and your grant-making team figure out the best places and spaces for these funds. You know, we have a general community fund called the Bonner Boundary Forever Fund. It's a community fund, endowed community fund that we grant out of only to organizations in Bonner and Boundary County. So that way those resources stay here. They stay in our community so that they can support the causes that matter the most to our residents, our children, our support services, and that's fantastic because nobody wants to see their money leave. You know,
right.
We don't want to see the resources, you know, Spokane's great, but I don't live in Spokane and I don't want my money to go to Spokane. I want to see anything that I'm donating stay right here in Bonner County.
So yes.
We try to make sure that we have ways for that to happen because space and place are super important to people and we want to support that.
Yes, exactly. And so, and to be able to witness the benefits of that is got to be hugely rewarding.
It is. It really is. I feel very lucky. I've gotten to work very closely with the Equinox Foundation, which is a local family foundation in Bonner County who have supported Bonner and Boundary County for years. And to be able to help them with their work is an honor. And I am so grateful for them for being so forward thinking and so generous, and the fact that I get to help them do that in my small capacity it's really, really, really rewarding. Powder days are great, but this is amazing. You know,
there's the balance of life, right?
Yeah.
I love that. But so now, Dig, are there? Are there boundaries on what kinds of ways you can donate through Inovia, or is it pretty much you could show up with any kind of an idea you want, or do you kind of just stay within certain parameters?
Well, we do, you know, Inovia, one of the reasons I do like working for Inovia is we do have an anti-hate policy. So we need to make sure that donors are working within the mission and vision of Inovia. And, you know, that's to see communities thrive, every person thrives in our communities. And so that's really important. So there have been other community foundations and other donors who may not agree with that mission and vision. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That's okay. There's other spaces and places. So, you know, we're willing to sit down with donors and talk to them and hear about what they're interested in. And as long as we can align and make sure that, you know, the values are there, usually, which is usually not an issue, then we can go forward and try and help them reach their goals for how they want to be philanthropic. But again, it's really important. Inovia's mission is to help communities thrive, and we want every person in these communities to thrive.
I love that. And is that pretty much the biggest boundary that you have?
Yeah, that, I would say so. I mean, you know, the integrity of each individual is really important. So,
sure.
You know, we're always open to having a conversation, but, you know, making sure that really that alignment is there is critical.
Right. And so For you personally, are there certain goals that you have set for what you want to accomplish in your position with Inovia?
Oh, that's great. I would love to see the end of philanthropy. How do I explain that? I would love that people are just charitable because they can be. So I think explaining what we do and why we do it and really encourage people to, you know, think differently about philanthropy so that going forward, we really do build up our communities so that there's not such a huge strain on our nonprofit communities would be amazing. I would love to see people really help bring people up and level the playing field to a degree. There's no real good word to explain.
Sure.
How I'd love to see things go forward, that just being aware of each other's needs and working as hard as we can to support each other in our community. And, you know, the kids who work in the grocery store, they're the kids of our town, and how can we support them with their education dreams and goals, be it college or not? How can we support, you know, there's some amazing work being done for domestic violence and abuse in our community, and how can we continue to support them to help those people who are really in crisis? And I just... awareness, I guess, all of, I would love to see more people more aware of how they can make a difference and what work is really being done out there.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't notice a nonprofit or an issue until it affects us personally.
Exactly.
Right. So just, you know, thinking out of the box, I guess, a bit, that in our community there's a lot of need and how can we help address that. And so that's a big goal personally, I suppose. But
no, I think it's fabulous. I mean, honestly, I've seen the sign for Inovia, and I just never really knew what was going on until my friend happened to, you know, explain to me a little bit more about it, and to get the opportunity to talk to you more about it is amazing as well. And I'm just kind of curious, how long has Inovia been doing this work?
Since 1974.
Wow.
So, yeah, Inovia originally began as the Inland Northwest Community Foundation, and it started with this amazing group of women and one guy at around the World Fair in Spokane, and they got together and realized that if they could pull their resources to help get the world, you know, the Expo 74 here, they could pull resources to support other organizations. And so that's really where it sprung from. And, the, you know, so we're coming up on 50 years of the foundation, and, you know, changed the name from Inland Northwest Community Foundation to Inovia in 2016. But we've been here and we've been working really hard. And, you know, the focus was in Spokane, and then it started to spread out a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And now, as I mentioned earlier, 20 counties are part of Inovia's mission. You know, these are the counties that we're working really hard in, 10 in North Idaho and 10 in Eastern Washington. And the founders, we had a great event at the office a couple weeks ago. They brought the founders in to share their stories and record their stories so that we can have that testament as we go forward. And they're just amazing people. They just wanted to help their community, and they just want to help everyone. And it sounds so simple. It's so complex, and I'm really proud of them and really grateful.
Well,
that we get to do this work now.
Yes. And they took that one simple step forward to get that ball rolling. And yeah, I just feel this momentum picking up. And I don't know if it's you or what, but I think it's just fascinating. And I'm so happy that you're getting a chance to explain it a little bit more. So,
yeah, well, and I also think it's, you know, the Community Foundation, so, you know, there's the Idaho Community Foundation, which serves the entire state of Idaho. And then there's Inovia, and we serve, you know, the 10 counties in North Idaho. And there's a lot of similarity to what we do. And I do think the Idaho Community Foundation is very much a traditional community foundation working with donors and grant making. And I think Inovia is slightly different, and in that we're more initiative-based. We like to take the opportunity to ask a lot of questions and figure out ways that we can be a resource. And that really appeals to me. I get to do a lot of work with nonprofits in terms of we have a monthly ED executive director get together once a month where we sit down and just kind of, I joke that it's executive director therapy, you know, that they can kind of talk about what's going on in their nonprofits in a safe space. But, you know, up in North Idaho, we don't necessarily have a lot of other resources for these organizations. So if me, Inovia, can provide that space and we have that capacity to help them, then that's what we should be doing. And so I love that we get to do that as part of our work.
And I love that they got you to help them with that.
I hope so too.
You're doing a great job. And anyways, it's time for us to cut to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Dig Krismer. She's a rural engagement manager for the Innovia Foundation. And before we went to break, we were just discussing all the great ways that donors can contribute in meaningful ways to the community and how Dig has had such an amazing role to play in facilitating that. And before going on the show, Dig had shared with me some of her backstory, and I think that it's really interesting and probably relevant to being so inspired and motivated to help others and to enhance their lives. So, Dig, would you mind sharing a little bit about your backstory and maybe how it's motivated you to do this kind of work?
Yeah, not a problem. And actually, you know, I laugh always. People are like, oh, if you could change anything about your life, what would you change? I'm like, well, even the bad stuff, nothing, because then I'm not who I am right now.
Right.
It was kind of a rough patch there for my family and I when we first moved to Sandpoint. My children's father and I were going through a rough patch, and you know, after 2 years after we moved to Sandpoint, we ended up getting divorced. And then 2 years later, he unfortunately, which is crazy, never thought you'd say that about an ex-husband, but he unfortunately passed away, which is really crazy because, you know, you're not the widow and you're not, you're the parent of the offspring, but you're not the widow. And so it was just this very kind of strange place to be in. And then unfortunately, about 4 months after that, my boyfriend at the time was killed in a ski accident. So my four kids and I had this, you know, huge amount of loss, and it happened so quickly. We all joke now that we don't remember that year at all.
Oh, right.
Just because there was so much going on in terms of our emotional health and well-being. And I talked about this earlier in the sense that I really feel like our community held us. Mm. The kids were, you know, in elementary school. My youngest was six. And so both the mountain, Schweitzer was amazing with me. The schools were amazing for my children. The therapists who helped us, they went to the hospice grief camp. There was just a variety of in sports. The girls were involved with gymnastics and then lacrosse. And the list goes on and on and on. And I think that the fact that we were so held, and that word is really encompasses how we felt. We were really held by this community and able to kind of keep it together. And I am so eternally grateful for that, because a lot of times after that kind of trauma, so much trauma for the kids specifically and for myself as well, you know, things can go really sideways.
Sure.
And I don't know how they didn't go so sideways. Now, we joke with the kids sometimes that they're not out of the woods yet, right?
Like, exactly.
They're still teenagers. There's still time. But, you know, overall, I really give a lot of that credit to the community that we're in. And so in the last couple of years, when I was still working on the mountain, I think I started having this really big draw to be more involved in the larger community. And how can I do that? And how can I give back and really just appreciate what was so helpful for us? And you know, the opportunity with Innovia, really, I feel like it really gives me that chance. And I find myself getting emotional at this craziest of meetings, because it's such simple things that make such a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't, I don't know where to start in thanking everyone in community for just being there for, we jokingly call my kids the Diglets, you know, but being around to help the Diglets kind of get through. But it does take a village, and we live in a really amazing space and a really amazing place. And I just want to help support that. So
Yes. Yeah. And I totally love that. And, you know, I think by helping others, it definitely heals us.
Yeah.
And it gives us that chance to kind of have empathy for one another and, you know, the things that really and truly do matter.
Yeah. I mean, and we're still a hot mess. Like, the
who isn't?
Exactly. And I think that's the part that's also really comforting is, you know, as much as life is chaotic and crazy, and some really bad stuff can happen, but there's really some really good stuff that can come alongside of that. It's such a conundrum. And I'm, you know, my kids and I were just a bunch of goofballs, but we really try to appreciate that. And, I don't know. Just, I hate the concept of paying it forward sounds silly to me, but it's just that every day just being appreciative and knowing that some days we're going to get it right and some days we're not. And some days we might be kind of sideways because of X, Y, and Z. But overall, you know, this is the life that we're living. So how do we make it the best that we can?
Absolutely.
Kind of at the crux of it.
Yeah. And, you know, and you said something the other day too, that I thought was very relevant is that, you know, everyone is living with trauma.
Everyone. Yes.
Everyone. And so often when you're going through a time where you're especially feeling that, it's so easy to look at everybody else and go like, yeah, if only my life was like theirs, if everything was so smooth like theirs is. But, you know, I think that, you know, not to, you know, embrace a negative thing so much, but to just have the understanding that we're all in this together, and the more we can reach out and support each other and help each other, the better.
Yeah. And well, we also talked this about the concept of Sonder, and I love this concept. And Sonder is the word for like, realizing that every other single human being has a history and a life as rich and as complex as your own.
Yes.
So that you really, really see each other as humans that are these complex beings. Like sometimes we'll be in a historical museum looking at black and white photos of people, and you know, it's a class photo from 1915. And if you look at those faces.
Yeah.
Those people had lives as rich and as complicated as yours is. Walking down the street, you know, you see somebody who you don't know, but you see them. Their life is as complex as yours.
Yep.
And so just taking that in, I find that very comforting in a sense, because then I don't feel quite so alone or terrified, because we are all in this together. And how are we going to get through this if we don't support each other? And coming back to my work, I see that on a daily basis, and it feels really good.
And, you know, it's so interesting being in career coaching for 38 years now. I would say genuinely the people that are the most unhappy in the work that they do and feeling the most unfulfilled are the ones that don't see how they're enhancing the lives of others or doing something to make a difference.
Right.
Those
right.
are the people that they genuinely struggle the most. So it's interesting because the message generally out there is like you want to make as much money as you can and you want to have the, you know, this important job title when, you know, if it's really not true to what you want to contribute to the world, it's very uncomfortable.
Well, you know, and I'll use skiing as an example of that. You know, there's a lot of people who thought, oh, you're a marketing manager at ski resort. That's got to be the best job ever. It was. There's some amazing aspects of that job.
Sure.
And for so long, I got so fulfilled by being able to see people enjoying themselves on the mountain and being in a space and place that really spoke to them or gave them a respite from the other things in their life. And it was an escape. And yeah, it was awesome. And then they got to a point in my life where like, you know what? I need to find something that's speaking. There's something else calling me. There's something else deeper in here. And I need to figure out what that is.
Interesting.
So, and it's okay to look at that. And it's okay for that to shift. And it's okay to let go of one expectation and embrace something different if it's giving you that fulfilling feeling. You know, I tell that to my kids all the time. I'm like, you know, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to pay for things, but make sure that it gives you joy in some capacity. And if it's not, then you need to be looking at something different. And there's no shame in whatever you decide to do. Honestly,
nope.
I truly feel that. And if it's giving you joy and you're in a good space and you're able to control your life and your living and how you want to be, then okay.
Right.
So I don't know.
And I think sometimes it's just a shift of noticing that you are doing something to enhance lives of others, which is so meaningful to everyone. Well, Dig, it has been such a pleasure to get to know more about Inovia and the work that you're doing and how, you know, you've taken life's traumas and turned them into a blessing for others. So with my heart and soul, I say thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate. I don't usually like to talk about myself. I like to talk about other stuff. I don't mind. I don't mind center stage. I just don't want to talk about me.
Well,
it's a little weird.
No, you did a fabulous job, and I'm very excited to inquire more about Inovia, and I encourage others who may have been interested to do the same.
Yeah, please. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. So that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Be sure to tune in next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.